الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. And the title of the class today is The Best Guarantee Ever. Inshallah, today we will continue on learning about a very important branch of faith, which is trust in Allah, tawakkul. Trust in Allah means to believe that Allah is the disposer of all the affairs. That is to say, the controller and manager of all the affairs, as he is the all-powerful. Number two, only to him could everything be entrusted, as he is sufficient to his creatures. Number three, Allah perfectly protects everyone who commits his soul to him. So this is the meaning of trust in Allah. And actually, trust in Allah is the source of hope and encouragement regarding our hopes. Also, it is the source of mental peace and tranquility regarding our hardships and worries. Last week, we learned the verses of the Holy Quran where Allah is sending His command to His servants to rely on Him. Today, inshallah, we will learn from the ahadith and sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the importance and benefits of having trust in Allah. We will start by the first hadith on the authority of Ibn Abbas, who said, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a young man, he said, one day I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to me, O young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. Rahim. Again, be mindful of Allah and he will protect you. Number two, be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. Number three, if you ask, then ask Allah alone. And if you seek help, then seek help from Allah alone. And know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they would not benefit you except with what Allah had already prescribed to you. And if they were to gather to harm you with anything, they would not harm you except with what Allah has already prescribed for you. And know that what has passed by you and you have failed to attain was not going to befall you. And what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. This is the first hadith, which we will know its meaning in details, because inshallah this hadith is a message of hope and encouragement to every believer. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. This means that when you perform your actions for Allah's sake, you will find Allah with you in times of hardship. When you have sincerity to Allah regarding your action, that is to say you do all your actions for the sake of Allah, then you will find Allah with you in times of hardship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This means that Allah will save you from all hardships. Allah will make for you an outlet. Regarding the rest of the hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and if you ask, then ask Allah alone. And if you seek help, then seek help from Allah alone. This is the message, meaning is to have trust in Allah. To be sure that Allah is the controller and manager of your life. So ask and the seek help from the only one who has the power to control your life. Okay? So in this hadith, Allah the Almighty, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us regarding having trust in Allah. What is the meaning of having trust in Allah? To be sure, as Prophet Muhammad said, if all the nation will gather together to give you benefit, they will not be able to give you any benefit except by the command of Allah. And if they gather together to make for you any harm, they will not be able to make for you any harm except what Allah had already prescribed for you. So this is the proof that none can give or take except Allah. We must believe in this system. None can give you anything or take from you anything except Allah or by Allah's will. Okay? None can provide or prevent except by Allah's will. Harm and benefit are only up to Allah. Okay, and the whole nation, if they gather together, they will not be able to do anything because harm and benefit are only to Allah. So in conclusion, so long Allah is the only source of provision and benefit, then we must put our trust and hope only in Allah. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that, inshallah, we try all the resources, but we are sure that the source, the only source of success, provision, and benefit is Allah the Almighty. Also, this hadith is a message of acceptance all Allah's decree, okay, and never to have regret regarding any of your life events. Okay, what is the meaning of this? In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And know that what has passed by you was not going to befall you." Okay, you cannot say, "Okay, I was having an opportunity, to live in Paris, and if I tried my best at that time, I would be now in Paris." Okay, not in Houston with the city rain. This is wrong. This statement is wrong. Okay, regarding the belief in Allah, there is no regret. When you believe in Allah's decree, there is no regret. Why? Because nothing, whatever has passed you, was not going to befall you. And what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. You cannot sit and say, I can escape that marriage. Okay, I was having an opportunity. Why I didn't think it over? If I think it over, I would not marry that person. No, the only husband in your life is that person. Okay, so when you believe in this, okay, you will never feel the regret. You will not be all the time looking back and saying, okay, I was supposed not to have that decision, that decision to marry that person or to move to that place or to buy that house. It was wrong one and I was supposed to think it over. I can escape it. You cannot escape it. You will never escape it. Whatever written by Allah 50,000 years before the creation of the worldly life, you cannot escape it. Okay?
I'd like you to, if you could explain to us, when we have the decree, when we are in our mother's womb,
yes,
it is said what is going to be given to this individual.
Yes.
But with dua, can we change some of the things that have been said for us?
Yes. Safiya, you must believe that dua is part of Allah's decree.
Oh,
okay. Okay, this is part of it. So Allah knows that Safiya on that day will do dua and will ask me, for example, for success in the test. So if it is written for you to succeed, you will succeed. And you at that time, when you will be living that event, you will say, this is because of my dua. Okay? So dua is part of Allah's decree. The people, sometimes they don't understand this fact. It is written that you will do dua and your dua will save you. So it will be part of what is written for you before your creation. Because Allah knows everything before it will happen. Okay, Allah knows that you will do dua. So it is written that Safiya will do dua, and because this her dua is accepted, Safiya will pass the test, inshallah. Okay, so dua is part of Allah's decree. And because of that, you must do dua all the time. Because through your dua, okay, this is a part, you make your dua part of your decree. So all the time call on Allah.
So basically, what you're saying is that Allah is the only one that knows exactly what's going to happen before we even know what's going to happen.
Yes. No, I tell you one thing.
So that's the best way to look at it, maybe.
No, I will give you the fact. The fact is that Allah the Almighty is the one who wrote what will happen and what we will do. Everything Allah knows it by His knowledge. Okay? Because Allah has the knowledge. Before creation, 50,000 years. Before creation of the worldly life, Allah the Almighty already wrote everything in the preserved tablet. Okay, about all the human beings. Allah knows everything. Allah knows what that person will do, what the everything. Okay, but Allah the Almighty created us. Why? So long He knows everything. Allah created us so that on the Day of Judgment, when you will stand in front of Allah, and Allah will tell you, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and you were sinner in this, you cannot tell Him, no, Allah, I was not. Okay, at that time, the scene will come down. Okay, so this worldly life, okay, Allah is making us to live this worldly life to prove our reality, so that we will accept our destination. Because on the Day of Judgment, some people will be sent to the hellfire, some people will be sent to the paradise. So those whom they will be sent to the hellfire will say to Allah, oh Allah, why I will be sent to the hellfire? Okay?
So in other words, Allah knows our destiny. He knows where we're going to end up.
Yes.
Even after the judgment.
Yes.
Okay.
No, you know, maybe you didn't attend the classes of Allah's knowledge. You know, Allah's knowledge, in many verses of the Quran, Allah the Almighty is saying, okay, عالم الغيب والشهادة. He knows the seen and the unseen. Okay, part of the unseen is the future and the Day of Judgment and the final destination, and who will stay for some time in the hellfire, then He will move them to the paradise. Every single knowledge related to this life and to the other life and to the all the creation which we can't imagine is known by Allah the Almighty. Okay, we must believe in this. This is, you know, and again, I always mention to the sister that the belief in Allah must be the most important fact to be known to the Muslims. Because the belief in Allah consists of three parts. Number one, the oneness of the Lordship. Oneness of the Lordship is to believe that Allah is the creator of everything. Accordingly, Allah is the owner of everything. And because of that, in this worldly life, you tell me, Sister Mona, you own your car. I tell you, no, I don't own my car. My car is a gift from Allah or a trust from Allah to me for some time. I will leave it if I die while I'm still having it, or the car will leave me if I sell it while I'm still alive. But I don't own anything. There is no real ownership in the worldly life. Everything is owned by the only real owner, Allah the Almighty. Then He is giving us this trust. Your kids are a trust. Yourself is a trust. The wealth is a trust. So we don't own anything. What is the proof? The proof is that I come to this life with nothing and I leave this life with nothing. Okay, so I never own anything, because if I already owned anything, I can tell, put it with me in the grave. With my watch with me in the grave, I like this. We are not supposed. Allah gives the command that the body will be washed. He will take the spirit again, and that's it. This was the time of the test. Okay? So this is the ownership. Number three, Allah's knowledge. This is very important, because Allah knows, you know, when I look to Daniel, while I am looking to you, you know, my face is directed to you, but in reality, my eyes were directed to Daniel. Allah knows this. And Allah wrote this. So on the Day of Judgment, I will be questioned about my look to Daniel, while Daniel was not aware. But you see up to what extent of every human being. Amazing. Allah knows all of this, and Allah is writing all of this. Amazing. You see, subhanAllah, yes, this is when you know about Allah, the Almighty, about the belief in the oneness of Allah, you know, you feel that the only one whom I will ask, number four, because they are, this is the knowledge, number four is Allah's will and power. This is the only will and power, as the hadith is clarifying. If all the nations, 10 trillion, will stand beside you and tell you we will do this, Allah will say, no, it will not be done. That's it. That's it. So this is clear why I must put my trust only in Allah. And if I succeed to put my trust in Allah, I will never have any worry or sadness, because I can't do anything. I am nothing. Everything is up to Allah. My duty in this life is to worship Allah. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. I just created them to worship me. Okay? What is the meaning of worship in Islam? The meaning of worship in Islam is to do every act and everything for the sake of Allah. I come here for the sake of Allah. I cook for the sake of Allah. I go to the school for the sake of Allah. I sleep for the sake of Allah. Sleeping even can be considered an act of worship if you have the intention that you are taking some rest so that you will continue doing your responsibility. So the 24 hours of the life of the believer, okay, equals to act of worship for the sake of Allah. Okay, so we must be aware of how powerful is Allah, the Almighty. The more you know about Allah, the more you are close to Him, the more you love Him, the more you look for His help only. If someone will come and tell me, I help you, I tell her, sister, alhamdulillah, I hope that Allah will make you a resource or a mean. Because the source of help is only Allah. He makes some resources on the earth, but the command is coming from the heaven. And because of that, Allah said in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. Your provision is in the heavens. Okay, so how come our provision is in the heaven while we are living on the earth and all the resources are on the earth? Okay, because the command is coming from Allah. The controller, the manager, the planner, the only will and the only power. Okay? So this is part one of the belief in the oneness of Allah, the belief in the oneness of the Lordship. Then the belief in the oneness of Allah regarding the worship. I only ask Allah, I only need Allah, I only trust in Allah, I only cry to Allah, I only fear Allah. Why? How come I am so sincere with Allah? In number two, because I am a believer in number one. Allah is the owner, Allah is the creator, Allah is the all-knower, Allah is the planner. If number one is clear for me, the Lordship, the oneness of the Lordship, immediately I will have the oneness of the worship. So you tell me, Sister Mona, let us try with that sister. Maybe she will be nice with us and she will help. I tell you, no, sister, no, don't. Have the best manners, because this is a command from Allah. But if you need the help, call on Allah the Almighty, tell Him, oh Allah, send for me the resources. I will not ask them. You will make them for me to come and to help me. Because everything is up to you, oh Allah. I have all the trust that if this goal is written for me, it will happen. With the people, without the people, with resources, without resources, it will happen. I will try my best. But I am sure that everything is only coming from you, O Allah. This is the link of the believer with Allah the Almighty. If you have this link clear in your spirit, inshallah, this is actually the way for the mental peace and tranquility. I don't fear anything, because I cannot do anything, because none can do anything, and because I don't know the plans of Allah. I don't have any knowledge, but I am a believer that Allah is having the wisdom and the mercy. Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the all-wise. And also Allah promised the true believers that He will make for them an outlet from every hardship. So I am all that I am sure, inshallah, in a minute, in a second, inshallah, there will be an outlet. I am waiting for that outlet, which Allah will make it for me. During that time, I am the best believer in Allah. I never lose hope, okay, and I am always having my trust in Allah. This is the summary of the belief in Islam. All the belief, whatever we are learning is related to all of this. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we must actually accept all Allah's decree, okay, and never to have regret regarding any of your life events. Okay, I will give you another hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related to the message of acceptance. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any hardship happens to you, don't say, if I had not done that, it would not have happened. Okay, but say Allah did what He had ordained to do. Okay, the meaning of this is that I am not supposed to say, you know, if we don't immigrate to America, you know, now we will be living in Egypt and I will be a physician and I will have my kids and. But now you are living in America and your kids are in different states and you are semi-handicapped and wake up, okay? The reality is different. So don't ever say, if I had not done that, it would not have happened to me. Okay, this is not accepted in Islam. Okay, all the time have the acceptance. Believe that whatever Allah planned for me is the best. Now I am telling, if I am in Egypt, I will have my kids with me and all of this. Who give you the proof that your kids will be with you? Who give you the proof that you will be still alive in Egypt? Maybe if you lived in Egypt, there was a car accident 10 years ago, and you are already dead, and you never have your kids.
Are you allowed to say, if I did not disobey Allah, then this would not have happened? For example, there's decisions that you do, disobeying,
yes.
And this has happened, and the consequence was negative,
yes.
And it happened because you disobeyed, and that's kind of like...
Yes, this is related to disobey. If you are disobeying Allah the Almighty, there is punishment.
Okay, so you can put the punishment...
So it is clear. You just put it punishment,
okay.
But not related to the decree. You know,
okay.
Allah is warning us regarding some actions. And Allah is clarifying. If you do that action, you will be punished.
Okay.
And Allah didn't clarify what form of punishment. So I am open to any punishment. So if the punishment happened, this is what I expect. This is not related to Allah's decree. Okay.
Okay.
And by the way,
I
will give you
no problem.
Once I just wanted to ask you, is this like an example? I was with a friend in the masjid, and we were trying to leave before the prayer started to get home. And so that when we got to her house, well, she forgot her key to the gate and everything. It's like we had wasted our time, you know, going home. You know, so I felt like I was telling her, like, you see, this is because we didn't pray in the masjid. We should have prayed in the masjid. This is now we're wasting our time. Like, now we have to go back to the masjid to get the key. So
it is always happening like this, Daniel. This is Allah's punishment.
Yeah. Is it not? What is the difference between Allah's punishment and Allah's decree? Because some people think something happened and they say it's the will of Allah, but at the same time it was actions that were not according to the
I tell you, the example is always related to marriage. Okay, suppose three or four people propose to you, okay, and you choose one of them, mm-hmm. And after marriage you are not happy with him, for example. At that moment you will say, oh, I did a big mistake. If I accepted the other person, I will be very happy now. Okay, this is not accepted in Islam. Okay, because this means that you are interfering with Allah's decree. Who give you the proof that that person whom you want to choose, or you feel that you did a mistake, that you didn't choose him, when you will live with him, he will be a good person?
Well, let's say you had the choice between someone who had good character and good conduct,
okay.
And you had also someone who's very handsome,
okay.
And then you decided to pick someone who's very handsome.
Good.
Then you made a decision according to the Sunnah said, okay, if you have somebody that has good character, just probably most likely you have to really go with the character. And then you end up saying it's difficult to have the package. So then you think, oh, if I had gone by the sunnah, then maybe I would have had a better life.
Okay. Still, you can, so long you didn't follow Allah's advice or Allah's, you know, yes, advice, okay, or command to choose the one who has the good manners, not just the good manners and the way to treat the people, okay, practically, not just theoretically, okay. You can blame yourself, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you can blame yourself that you didn't obey Allah and you are paying the price, okay. But you cannot say, I was having the opportunity to marry the other one, okay, and I lost the opportunity. I was supposed to be married to the other one now. This is the, you get my point? I was supposed to live another life. No, you are, whatever you are living is was the only opportunity for you. Okay? You were not supposed to live another life. This is the only life. And because, you know, the goal of believing in Allah's decree is acceptance. Okay, because without acceptance, you will never feel happiness. You will never be happy with Allah. You will never have a good relation with Allah because all the time you don't accept your decree and your decree is from Allah. Oh Allah, I am angry with what you already prescribed for me or you planned for me. Okay, and this is not accepted with Allah because Allah said in the Holy Quran that we are not in this life to choose. We are not to choose. Okay, so if I believe that I am in a test, so long I am in the test, I am supposed to obey the commands of Allah. Then what will happen in my life? Okay, oh Allah, I am accepting it. Whether I am the one who chose it or whether it is planned for me, I am accepting it because this is part of the belief in Allah, to accept Allah's decree. Okay, so the problem is that most of the people are living in the feeling of regret. You know, if I didn't come, it would not happen. So I was supposed to be very happy. They want to escape the reality by living the dream of what you, of the, you know, which is related to the regret. Okay, this is wrong. Okay, you are.
So we should keep having regrets about something. Like if something happened to a family member, we shouldn't keep blaming ourselves.
No,
you know?
No.
Like
don't,
if
don't
this,
believe.
If I hadn't done this, this wouldn't have happened. You know, like if this person wouldn't have died, if this hadn't happened, da-da-da-da-da.
Never. Because you know the rest of the hadith actually is that if you do like this, you open the gates for the shaitan. Shaitan will control you. You see what Allah is doing for you? You see? Allah is not giving you what you are looking for. You see? By time, you will become very far from Allah the Almighty. Okay? So don't. The message is that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is rewarding His servant who puts his trust in his Lord, believing that He is the source of power. The reward is guidance and protection from the shaitan. Okay? Now we will learn some of the misconceptions about the trust in Allah, which are corrected by the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I clarified this last week, but I need to clarify it again because I will mention some of the hadith related to these misconceptions. Some people may think that putting trust in Allah means neglecting seeking the resources of provision. Okay? This is prohibited in Islam. That is to say, neglecting seeking the resources of provision does not relate to putting trust in Allah. Okay? As Allah enjoined seeking the resources with His order of putting the trust in Him, as we will recite from Surah number 62, verse number 10, then we will learn many hadiths to support this fact. Surah number 62, verse number 10. بِاللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبِتَغُوا. Actually, sister, let us recite 9 and 10 so that you can know more about the two verses. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu idha nudiya lil-salati min yawm al-jum'ati fasa'u ila zikrillah wa dharul bay'a. ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. صدق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O you who believe Muslims, when the call is proclaimed for the Salah prayer on Friday Jummah prayer, come to the remembrance of Allah. Jummah religious talk, khutbah and salah prayer, and leave off business and every other thing. That is better for you if you did but know. Then when the Jummah salah prayer is ended, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah by working, etc. And remember Allah much that you may be successful.
Okay. So actually, sisters, Allah is mentioning in surah, in verse number 10, when there is a call for salah, proceed to the remembrance of Allah and leave the trade. Okay? But in verse number 10, Allah is again saying, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and when the prayer has been concluded, seek from the bounty of Allah. Okay, so they must try their best. They must again move. Okay, they must do an effort. Okay, so there is Islam is not against doing the effort. Okay, Allah enjoined seeking the resources with the order of putting the trust in Him. Now we will learn from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which support this fact. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you depend on Allah with due reliance, He would certainly give you provision as He gives the birds who go forth hungry in the morning and return with full belly at dusk. Okay? The meaning of that, if you have full trust in Allah, if you put your trust in Allah, Allah will provide you with the birds. What is the situation of the birds? In the morning, they start to fly. Okay, while they have empty belly. Okay, and at the, for example, at dusk time, they return with full belly. Okay, what is the meaning of this hadith in relation to trust in Allah? Birds don't keep sitting in their nests, okay, for food, but they fly. They fly in all directions, okay, in search for the food. The birds search for their food, they do great effort, believing in Allah's provision. So Allah provides them every day. Every day, okay, they start the day with empty belly. And at the end of the day, they have full. Okay, why? Because they move and fly and fly and do great effort. So this is the proof that in Islam, put your trust in Allah, be sure that by the end of the day there will be a provision, but you must try all the means and all the resources. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Trust in Allah doesn't mean one should not give any importance to material resources, because their acquiring is also ordained by Allah. Who is the one who helped the birds to know that in that place there is food, in this place there is food? Allah the Almighty. So try the resources, keeping in heart that Allah is the provider. Okay, hadith number 2. One day Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he noticed that a Bedouin man leaving his camel without trying it in front of the mosque. Okay, it was the time of prayer. Okay, and one man, he is called the Bedouin, okay, from the desert, he came and he just left the camel and he entered the mosque. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, why don't you tie down your camel, okay, before entering the mosque? Okay, the Bedouin answered, I put my trust in Allah. Okay, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tie your camel first, then put your trust in Allah. This is a known statement. Okay, tie your camel and put your trust in Allah. Okay, tie your camel, okay, means that you must try all the resources and leave the end result to Allah. Okay, he may tie his camel and go to the masjid to pray, and when he return back after tying his camel, he may not find his cap. Still the possibility is there, but at least he already tied his camel. Okay, but you cannot leave your camel without tying and go to the mosque, and when you are out, the camel is not there, but I put my trust in Allah. What is the meaning of this?
In other words, Allah doesn't want you to be dumb.
Right.
He wants you to be smart.
Yes.
He wants you to use your head.
Yes, yes. But I tell you actually, the message is not to be smart. The message is to try the means, to do your responsibility. You know, it is a more deep message. Okay, I am not supposed to say, for example, regarding my kids, I will all the time sit with them in the masjid. We will pray from morning to night. They will not go to any schools. They will not learn anything. But I am sure that out of trust in Allah, inshallah, they will be provided the best in this life. This is totally wrong theory. Okay? Your kids must pray the five prayers. But your kids must go to the school, and they must study day and night, and they must try all the resources to become good students, and you must take care of them, and you must be a good mother, and you must fulfill your responsibility, and during all this journey, you put your trust in Allah. Okay, this is the message of the responsibility. Because there are some Muslims whom they are under the impression that so long Allah is the provider, so long I believe in Allah, so long I pray day and night, okay, Allah will provide me. No. Allah will provide you and Allah is the provider. But Allah wants everyone to do a responsibility in this life. Allah doesn't want the Muslims to be the lazy people whom they are not adding anything to humanity. Okay, we must be a successful community. How we can be a successful community if all of us are sitting in the masjid day and night sleeping? Not even worshipping Allah, sleeping. Okay, how we can be a community, basically, not a successful one. If you want to be a successful human being, if you want Allah to help you, okay, and to provide you, you must try all the means, you must do your responsibility in the best shape. Be sure that the result is up to Allah the Almighty. So the message from this hadith is that Allah is the disposer of all the affairs. But He also commanded us to do our part. Try all the resources, then leave the end result to Allah's will. Having trust in Allah is not an accepted excuse to be lazy, not working, not doing your responsibility in life. Now we will have a proof about this fact. Ibn Abbas, who is a companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, some people from Yemen, you know Yemen? They used to come to Hajj without having provisions. They say, we are people who put their trust in Allah. And they perform Hajj and ask their provisions from the people of Mecca. You see? So Allah, for them, revealed the following verse of the Quran, Surah number 2, verse number 197.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And complete the Hajj and Umrah for Allah. But if you are prevented, then offer work.
No, 197. The next one.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hajj is during well-known months. So whoever has made Hajj obligatory upon himself therein by entering the state of Ihram, then it is to be for him no sexual relation and no disobedience and no disputing during Hajj. And whatever good you do, Allah knows it. And take provision. But indeed, the best provision is fear of Allah. And fear me, O you of understanding.
So actually, sister, this is about Hajj, as we were learning about the people of Yemen, but Allah is clarifying and giving a command and take provisions. and take provision. They were coming without provisions, okay? This is a command from Allah to take the provisions with you. Also, it was said regarding to that event that Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second Khalifa, he met people from Yemen. So he asked them, "Who are you?" They said, "We are the people who put their trust in Allah." So he replied, "Nay, you are the people who pretend putting trust in Allah. The person who actually puts trust in Allah is the one who throws a seed in the land and puts his trust in Allah, the Exalted." This is the meaning of putting trust in Allah in one statement. This is the reality of having trust in Allah. Throw the seed in the land, take care of it every day, believing that Allah, the All-Powerful, is the one who will make it to grow from a seed to a tree. Okay? This is the reality of, you know, having the trust in Allah, the Almighty. You must try all the means. Let us now, sisters, learn about an incident which occurred when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was emigrating from Mecca to Al-Madina with his companion Abu Bakr. Now we will learn about an accident or an event in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we will know that he had all the trust in Allah the Almighty. Okay, while they were emigrating from Mecca to Medina, he and Abu Bakr, the people of Mecca who rejected the message of Islam, they announced a huge reward for their arrest. Who will arrest Prophet Muhammad and his companion will receive a huge reward. For which people were searching them widely. Everyone was trying to catch Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion so that he will receive that great reward. During the research, some of them reached the mouth of the cave where Prophet Muhammad and his companion were staying for rest. Okay, so Abu Bakr, the companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, if one of them were to look down below his feet, he would see us." Okay? To explain the situation for you, sister, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, they, for example, migrated from Mecca to Medina. Okay? But because the way was very long for them, they planned to take rest in a cave. Okay? The people of Mecca, whom they were against the message, and they were upset that Prophet Muhammad will escape with his companion, they want to catch him, so they announced for a great reward for the person or the people whom they can catch them. Okay, so everyone was searching for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually a group of them, they reached the cave and they were standing in front of it. So when Abu Bakr looked from down, he saw their feet. So he was very upset about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the message of Islam. He was not upset about himself. This is Abu Bakr. His belief is equal to a belief of a nation. Okay? So he was so upset. So he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Messenger of Allah, if one of them were to look down below, he would see us." So what was the answer of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is actually a statement which every one of us must actually remember it all the time, especially during the hardship. Prophet Muhammad answered him with full trust in Allah, "O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two whose third is Allah?" We are not alone, okay? We are not alone. We are three, okay? Me and you. And Allah is with us. Okay? The message is, don't worry. We are not alone. The All-Powerful is with us, protecting us, taking care of us. Okay? So this is the message of tranquility and full reliance on the Most Merciful. Okay? Don't ever say, "I am alone." You are never alone. Because Allah is with every one of us. And actually once Prophet Musa was worried. And his Prophet Muhammad, Allah the Almighty commanded him to go to Pharaoh and to say to him about Allah and all of this. So Prophet Musa said to Allah, "Oh Allah, I am afraid. Okay, from him. So Allah said to him, I will give you this verse of the Quran. Okay. Me and my brother Harun, we are so worried. We cannot stand in front of Pharaoh. So Allah said to him, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, don't be afraid. I am with you, hearing and seeing everything. I am with you. I will give you first this verse of the Quran, so that all the time you feel the existence of Allah with you, the existence of all the powerful with you, taking care of everything, inshallah, making for me an outlet, protecting me from any problem. Okay? So we will recite first regarding Prophet Musa and his brother, then I will give you the verse of the Quran which is related to this event regarding the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقولا له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى قال ربنا إننا نخاف أن يفرط علينا أو أن يطغى قال لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى.
Go both of you to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed. And speak to him with gentle speech, and perhaps that he may be reminded of or fear Allah. Thus said our Lord, indeed we are afraid that he will hasten punishment against us, or that he will transgress. Allah said, fear not, indeed I am with you both, I hear and I see.
This is actually a reality, okay, and a fact which the believer must remember all the time, okay? I don't fear the test, I don't fear the oral exam. I don't fear the meeting of my boss. I don't fear the meeting of, some people whom, for example, my relatives whom they are not happy with me, whatever. Okay, why you don't fear them? Because Allah is with me. Allah is with me. Allah hears and sees everything. So why I fear them? Okay.
I have a question, but it's not directly, it's more related to what we just talked about. If Pharaoh was saying on the day of judgment, oh Allah, I did not do, I was not, my life was according to your command, but this is because you have written it before on the sacred tablet. So, like if someone has not reached what paradise and they excuse is that it was already written.
Yes, I will tell you. Allah will answer that in this worldly life you have free choice. Okay? The right path is clear and the wrong path is clear. And every one of us has that choice of freedom of choice. Okay? But Allah wrote what you will do. Because Allah knows what you will do. Okay, but what happened already is your choice. You get my point? This is the trick in this problem. Okay, why Allah wrote that person will not be guided? Because in fact, he will never be guided. When he will live this worldly life, he will never be guided. Allah knows, already knew what that person will do, so Allah wrote it. But Allah wrote what the people will do. Okay, not Allah wrote what he decided for them. No, Allah wrote what he knew, already knew that they will do. Okay, because Allah said that he, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he made oppression prohibited for himself. Allah never oppressed any person. If Allah will write for those people, you are in the paradise with no reason, and for those people you are in the hellfire with no reason, this is not justice. And Allah clarified that I made oppression prohibited for me, and I made it prohibited between you. So never prohibit each other. Okay? Accordingly, okay, you must believe that what you are doing now is your choice. Now we are sitting, okay? You are three sisters. How many sisters are at home whom they can come and attend a class like this? They have free time. This is a must. Knowing the knowledge of your religion is a must. But they are not interested. They feel that knowing the knowledge of the hairstyling or the fashion is more important for her. She has the freedom of choice. But on the day of judgment, when she will find that she is in hardship, okay, she is not supposed to blame Allah. Oh Allah, why you didn't send me to the masjid? No, this was your responsibility.
Okay, so basically, we cannot question Allah's will.
At all.
Whatever we're predestined, whoever is going to Jannah and whoever is going to go to the hellfire, this is Allah's knowing.
No, this is wrong.
No? Okay, I want to be clear.
No. Regarding the final destination,
yeah,
it is your responsibility. It is not related to Allah at all. We are in this life, okay, in a test. If you follow the commands of the one who created life and sent for you the booklet of the commands, and he commanded you to know that booklet and to follow it so that you save yourself, if you follow the booklet or the book of guidance or the book of life, okay, if you follow it, this means that you take your responsibility towards yourself and you save yourself, and with the mercy of Allah, because none will enter the paradise except by Allah's mercy. So by Allah's mercy, inshallah, you are doing your good deeds, you try your best to follow the right path, inshallah, with Allah's mercy, inshallah, you will be in the paradise. But for most of the people whom they forget about the Holy Quran totally, they have time only to study, and study, and study, and earn money, and study, and build houses, and buy cars, as if there is no death at all. And there is no day of judgment. No problem. They have the freedom. This is the freedom of Allah, the Almighty. When they come on the day of judgment, all their records will be full of sins. Okay, there is no sincerity, there is no prayer, there is no good deeds, there is no good manners. Okay, where are the good deeds? Where is the belief? Where is the booklet? Where is the booklet? Okay, it is not there. Okay, no problem. Who decides her destination? Myself. I decide. And still we are in the worldly life. And when you remind the sister, take care, wake up. You may die tonight. And your book, the book of the deeds, will be closed tonight. And you don't know anything about the Quran. Sister, take care of yourself. This is for you. Okay? She will tell you, okay, I am sure that I will not die tonight. Okay? If you are sure. So Allah the Almighty, number one, you must believe that Allah is the most merciful. Because even if I lived my life, as we know in one of the classes about Allah's mercy, there was a worshipper who worshipped Allah 500 years, day and night. Okay? And on the day of judgment, Allah sent the angels to tell him, you will enter the paradise by Allah's mercy. He said, no, I deserve a paradise. I deserve it by paradise. I worshipped Allah 500 years. So at that moment, Allah said to the angels, get the scale, put for him his vision. His vision as a blessing was equal to all his acts of worship for 500 years. Okay? So just his vision. What about the rest of the blessings? So he was supposed to be in the hellfire. Because whatever he did in this worldly life is just equal to the blessing of vision. Because we don't consider the blessings of Allah, okay, that they will be counted for us on the day of judgment. Okay? So at that moment he said, oh Allah, I did a mistake. I will enter paradise by your mercy. So Allah sent him to the paradise. Okay? So this life is a responsibility. If the people, most of the people, they plan that they don't care, no problem. They forget about the Quran, no problem. They are not following any of Allah's commands, no problem. But you will die or not? This is the question. If you are sure that you will not die, no problem. Follow that plan. But Allah said in the Holy Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every spirit will taste death. So if I just believe in this statement, which I can notice all around, there is no human being who lived more than 150 years, for example. And he already dead when he is around 90 years. There is no vision, there is no hearing. Most of everything is lost already, and death is better. Okay, but no problem also. Okay, so 100%, the only fact in this life is that we will die. Maybe, you know, I will not live in America. Maybe my kids will not be with me. Maybe. Except one thing, which is sure 100%. Mona, you will die. This is the only fact. So long I believe in that fact. Okay? Why you didn't prepare yourself for what is after this? Why? This means that we are not believers in the Day of Judgment. We are not believers. If someone doesn't believe clearly in the Day of Judgment, which actually is a reality of many, 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 many Muslims, okay, and Allah knows the reality of everyone, I don't know, but their acts in life, okay, this means that they are not believers. So how you pray, why you are not believers? How you fast, why you are not believers? Why you fast? I always ask the sisters, if you don't believe clearly in the Day of Judgment, if you believe in the Day of Judgment, okay, you will have a way of life. You are convinced, you are happy, you are thankful to Allah that Allah guided me to the right path, because millions of the people are actually lost in this worldly life. But they will die. They can't escape this. And they will stand in front of Allah. And Allah will get all the records in front of them. And if they will say, oh Allah, I was very obedient, Allah will say, no problem. This is what will happen. Get the seed. So again, as I am clarifying to you, if you are staying at home, not doing anything, having a lot of time, okay, and you don't know anything about your religion, and you don't have a way of life, you're just living one day by one day. Today we will eat, today and tomorrow we'll go out. After tomorrow we will eat again. Then we'll go out. Or we will not go out, we will fight. Okay. And that's it. Allah created us for this? No. But you don't want to do an effort. You don't want to know the truth. You know why most of the people, they don't like the truth?
Why?
Because they don't want to follow the right path. Because the right path is not easy. Because the right path equals good manners. Okay, sacrificing. Okay.
Effort.
Yes, a lot of effort. Yes, not to know. And they are under the impression that on the Day of the Judgment, they will say to Allah, I don't know. No, this is not accepted in the Day. You see, actually it is too late, and also it is your responsibility. Why you have the time to know all the nonsense? All the nonsense, most of the people are very clear. Everything, you know. So, you know, alhamdulillah, actually, you know, this is a very important fact. You must be very thankful to Allah for guidance. The best blessing in this life is guidance. Now again recite the verse of the Quran was related to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ message when he was in the cave. Don't worry, Allah is with us. We are not alone, and we must put our trust in Allah. Surah number 9, verse number 51. Surah number 9, verse number 51. And actually, sister, this is one of the most important rules in the Holy Quran related to the belief in Allah's decree and related to the belief in the trust in Allah. Okay, so we'll try to know its meaning in detail, because it is very important, and also it is a very important source of tranquility and peace, inshallah. Surah number 9, verse number 51, page 261. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Say nothing shall ever happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our Mulla, Lord, Helper and Protector. And in Allah, let the believers put their trust.
Okay, so actually, sister, this is a very important message from Allah, the Almighty, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, regarding how to handle your life. Okay? Allah is clarifying that, say, this is a command, okay, to Prophet Muhammad and to all the believers. Nothing will befall you except that Allah had decreed for you. Okay? So, all my decree is from Allah, the Almighty, only. No one can interfere in this. Only Allah. Okay? And Allah is mentioning that I am your guardian. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. So whatever will come to me is coming from Allah, who is my guardian, who is the one taking care of me, who is the one linked to me in a good way. So I am not supposed to fear what will happen to me, because it is coming from my guardian. Okay? And then Allah the Almighty is saying, put your trust in me. Okay? If you are true believers. Okay? Again, sister, let the believer rely and put their trust in Allah the Almighty. So again, this is a command from Allah. Okay? Don't worry about the future. I am your guardian. Okay? Put your trust in me if you are a true believer in me. Okay? So again, sister, in this verse, Allah is giving us, number one, that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah always does the best. Fear no outcome. Okay? Suppose now I tell you, no, sister, I am sure that your daughter will not pass the test. Then your daughter will have depression. Then you will also have depression. Then your husband will be upset with you and with your daughter, and you will escape home. Then all these possibilities are there. Okay? So what you will do? The situation looks very dark. So what you will do? This is related to any problem in our life. Okay? For example, my husband will not find job. For example, I will come sick. For example, my daughters will leave. Whatever fear regarding the future. Okay, how you can handle this fear, which the shaitan is all the time, okay, whispering to you about it. You are sitting now calm in the masjid, you don't know what is prepared for you. You don't know what will happen to you. You don't know that tomorrow or after tomorrow you will face a very big trouble. So how come you are very calm and you are not worried and you are not preparing yourself? This is how the shaitan, this is the source of the worry, which most of the people, or 99.9% of the people are living now. And because of that, people are taking drugs to escape, or they are drinking, or they are playing. You know, there is very severe psychological pressure. What I will do tomorrow? Okay? So what can I do? Let me escape it. Let me escape it. When I escape it, I am destroying myself. And whatever Allah planned, it will happen. Okay? And when it will happen, okay, I will be already lost through the drugs, through medications, or through drinking. Okay? I am already lost. And I didn't wait for Allah. I didn't wait for Allah's plan. Maybe Allah's plan will come very good. So why I was in a hurry to escape? You know, this is the message. So when you believe in Allah, believe that Allah is with you. Allah is not against you. Allah is your guardian. Okay? And even if there is a hardship, okay, Allah said that with every hardship there is ease. Okay? But who is having this belief? Okay? The one who is, sir, all the time remember this verse of the Quran and it to yourself. Okay? Nothing will happen to me except what Allah had already decreed for me. So I can't escape. But I have two positive points regarding the future. Allah is my guardian, okay, and He commanded me to put my trust in Him. What is the meaning of putting trust in Him? Acceptance. Acceptance. Inshallah, I can tolerate it. Inshallah, if it is hardship, there will be ease with it. Inshallah, Allah will make for me an outlet of it. I am not worried about the hardship, but I am sure of the ease which Allah is preparing for me. So long I am a true believer, a true obedient to Allah's commands. Okay? So, in conclusion, putting trust in Allah means, number one, to try all the resources. Number two, let me give you this as a summary. Okay? Putting trust in Allah means, number one, try all the resources. Okay? Number two, have good expectations regarding Allah's decree. Have hope in Allah's mercy regarding the future. And put tranquility in your heart. that's it. If you have all of this, inshallah, put tranquility in your heart. If you have these four, you can face anything. Allah will send for you ease with every hardship. Allah is your guardian, okay, and Allah will make it easy for you. Actually, sisters, with regard to putting the trust in Allah, people are divided into three kinds, okay? This will be the last fact to learn today. Okay, what are the three kinds of people regarding putting trust in Allah? Number one, people who care for the reasons but neglect putting trust in Allah, they are the materialists, okay, and their followers. Okay, only they don't believe in Allah, okay, or they don't believe in the power of Allah, they believe in the power of the reasons. Okay, these are the materialists and their followers. Number two, people who pretend putting trust in Allah and neglect the reasons of provision. The lazy people whom they don't work, like those whom they come to Hajj without provision. Okay, they pretend putting trust in Allah. Okay, number three, people of truth who cared for the reasons and put their trust in Allah. And we pray to Allah to make us always from the people of the truth. And inshallah, we will continue to learn more and more about the trust in Allah next week, inshallah, and let us make the dua. اللهم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.